All right, this is the Parks Advisory Board meeting on Friday, November 13th, 2015.
Okay, meeting called to order, 1:11. We'll open the floor to public comment. I see we have some guests today. If you say your name and...
Malala Allen, Light and Water Association.
Terry Allen, I'm a co-chair of the Cooper Creek Woods Parks Committee and member of the Light and Water Association.
Terry Allen, I'm a co-chair. And she's ex-official press.
AJ Foley, Secretary of the Light and Water Association.
Welcome. We continue with introductions before we go to comments, starting over with Bill.
Okay, Bill Bierke, Parks Manager.
Jared Pettis, Parks.
Adam Manuka, Parks.
Keith Henderson, Public Works.
Barbara Anderson, PAB.
John Spencer, Parks Board.
Chris Day, Evergreen Schools.
Welcome, everyone. I know you're on the agenda today, but do you have any open comments you'd like to make while we wait for Kelly?
You know, of course, I testify at the Planning Commission and the Board of Commissioners, and I said very many things about the process that you guys had, because that was outstanding what you did to get the draft plan through in such a short time. And this is probably one of the better qualities that I have seen in a long time. And also, it is just wonderful, you know, how I saw the synergy change from the first meeting until the end, and then it became a huge working team, you know, and it was just wonderful to see that synergy at work. And thank you so much for serving and being the volunteers, because this is, I know how much energy you have put into it, how much work you have put into it, and at the end, the community benefits from it, but I don't think they realize
what you want to do. So thank you very much. Thank you. Just not sure where Kelly is.
Jump to grants priorities.
So. Yeah, maybe start discussion on some of our grant priorities, although I do know that Kelly does have some concerns and comments he wants to get in on that.
I wonder if we should, in that case, maybe we can go down to the manager's report.
That would be an excellent suggestion.
And I might need your support on one of these items. It's actually not on this list. This list has actually changed since we posted this last Wednesday. I'll go through that.
I guess I should ask if there's any changes to the agenda then.
Yes. Yes, we have two changes in the manager's report. On the B, the tour scheduled with Laura Moxham with RCO on December 12th. That's been canceled because she has resigned her position with RCO, and she has taken a position with the state parks in procurement, and that is as of today, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh.
And so they are actively looking for a new grant manager up in Lacey, and as soon as they do find one, they said they will be in contact with me. So we will resume our tour, if you will. And the idea was to tour the top three priorities that we kind of decide on today, maybe even four or five, just to take a look at those sites. And so the original plan was to give her a tour on December 12th. So with any luck, sometime in December, that tour will continue on. So it'll be rescheduled.
Do you think the hiring process will move that quickly?
What's that?
The hiring process.
They're currently engaged in the hiring process right now, and they're hoping to have somebody. Hey, Kelly.
We jumped around waiting for you, buddy.
Sorry for being late.
They're hoping to have somebody on board by early December. So.
We did. Let's jump down here. And he said that this meeting was canceled.
This meeting was canceled?
No, the tour. The tour meeting.
Oh, okay.
But they're in the process of doing it. Super. So, I guess we can move back now at this point and look at the minutes. Entertain a motion from the minutes on the last meeting. Not much going on.
Yeah, so moved.
Is this our document? Out of curiosity.
It's a new one, Kelly.
Is there a second?
For what?
A second on the minutes.
Oh, that's Bruce?
No, it's second. Second.
I'll second.
Okay. It's moved and seconded to accept the minutes as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Here we go. Want to take a breath? Or?
No. Go.
Okay. So we can go back and start our main work of the day, which is looking at grant priorities list. Did everyone take a little time this past month to review the list that Bill gave us at the last meeting?
We have
I brought mine. I'll share. I didn't bring the whole thing. Thought it would be in here.
Can I pull that up, Jeremy?
Yeah.
So.
Here's the list up here on the board.
Okay.
Oh.
We have a lot of good opportunities here, and what Bill would like to end up with is hopefully a top three or four. And for each of us going down through the list, I'm going to have to say that I don't know if I should recuse myself from the one on Park District 10 because of my...
It's only advisory.
Yeah. So I don't need to do that.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure because everybody knows I'm a little biased about that. You know? And so I just own it and say, if you feel it appropriate, I will recuse myself from that discussion.
Nope, not at all.
Okay. So, what's the best way to approach this, do you think?
What we thought about doing is
just going ahead and let him approach you for us.
There we go.
What we're talking about doing is possibly just going down to grant to grant and then maybe a show of hands as to if this is a priority for you, top two priority. And we'll put your initials right here in the vote tabulation. Does that sound fair? And just so you know, we've got some right here and we can actually, John.
Could we maybe vote five times? To break it down into the top five to start with.
Fine.
Otherwise, I'm going to have a trouble. Anybody else going to have trouble?
Three was kind of the number we're shooting for. Maybe four. But
I was kind of hoping that we would hear from Laura on some of this, and that was canceled yesterday. A lot of my judgments will be based on what the state says.
Laura Moxon, and you just missed that conversation.
I just heard from her that
yes, yes. And so they're actively looking for a replacement for her at RCO. Oh. And so our tour is canceled for right now, or it's going to be postponed to a later date. And so that's unfortunate.
But, well, just for everybody here,
yes.
They do judge and score everything. We will be competing statewide with a lot of other projects.
That is correct.
And Laura would have scored some projects for us, give us kind of a sense of how she felt they were going to score at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I've always in the past made a decision between one grant and another. So I'm kind of feeling handicapped by not having that information.
Yes. And
because really, in the long run, it's all about getting the money. States.
You bet. And quite honestly, I mean, we can prioritize what we would like to see today, and that when we do take that tour, we'll probably bring up that conversation as to, from the grant manager's perspective, what projects look like they're going to carry the most weight going forward.
Yeah.
And so that's.
So I will. Sorry. I will. You'll reserve the right to change my mind.
Absolutely, that's fine. You got that one. So basically, I think Jeremy put in the initials for Jennifer Halleck and John that have given us their.
Oh, did you already?
There's earlier on.
Okay.
And so
add me to the acreage west of I-5 because Park District 10 is in danger of. Having to return monies, I think that's got to be a priority.
Correct.
On that.
And as far as.
Are we going to go 3-4? If we 2-4, I need to add Jennifer Jones.
Should we take top four or top three?
Why don't we just go down, vote for top three and see how it goes if okay. we need to go back and add a couple extras.
Got it.
So,
who's got acreage west of I-5 as a top three priority? You can just raise your hand and we'll add your names.
Everybody?
Yeah. So.
VA. Oh,
okay. Sorry, Bart.
I had part of problems on my mind.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Tower Crest Neighborhood Park?
What park district is that?
That's
seven.
District.
Seven. Okay.
District. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, six
seven.
Is the other one that's.
That's like a sort of
nuts.
That's District 7, it's over in behind Vancouver.
That's one of the promised parks,
this
right?
When I was presenting these earlier at our last meeting, these two here, and I was telling you that the horse has already left the gate. These two parks have already been fairly well designed.
Or
Sorensen is actually in design right now. Tower Crest has been designed, it's going through permitting. Okay. So for us to go to RCO and backtrack, not really unlikely. So personally, I would rate those two low.
Yeah.
I don't think
as far as grant.
Exactly.
Yes.
So. We got the Fleta Community Park parking lot.
Wait, so Sorensen, no votes for Tower Crest?
Okay, yeah, Tower Crest?
No, that's it.
Sorensen Neighborhood Park?
How's funding in those districts? I meant to bring my list. Is it something where the grant would really... No, seven and nine. Nine has got plenty, but what's seven? Where's seven on that list?
Tower Crest and funding for Fifth District. It's $528,000 to build the park. I believe right now we've got about $460,000.
What I'm trying to look at is they've left the gate on the grant side. Is it something where we need to make them a higher priority because they're short to do development and such, and as I understand, when the grant money comes in, we could use it for development there.
The grant money comes in after the fact.
Yeah, I'm looking at the need level.
Yes, I think by the time we get around to, let's say it's next May or so, if we do decide to build Tower Crest, we will have the money because it is coming in at about $40,000 a month from what
I've
been
gathering. Okay, so they're good.
Yeah, so we're only about $65,000 short. I think we're going to hit our target before then.
Okay.
So we do actually have the construction dollars essentially for both these sites. The question, of course, is the maintenance dollars. If we get the funding from the board to maintain those sites, then we can probably move forward with building them. Shy of that, then it might not happen. That's still standing.
So that's the issue about diverting that money back where it belongs.
That's correct. Putting the general fund parks back in the general fund and getting them out of the MPD system. And that has been the issue kind of all along.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a Fleta Community Park parking lot.
Well, that's the
a
one.
Very small one.
That's a pretty small one.
That's a pretty small
$25,000. That was to develop that 0.6 acres into a bona fide parking lot with ADA accessibility. And it's right there in front of Fleta Park.
Yeah, I'm going to
select and vote very
now. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think.
Okay, Eastport Lewis River Greenway. That's going to be in conjunction with Conservation Futures. That is essentially. Development board, they rate property acquisition, acquisition, yes. So that's buying property along the East Fork of Lewis Greenway. And there's an interest from Conservation Futures, Legacy Lands, to partner with that one.
So no votes for that one?
I'll vote for that.
Anybody else?
Okay, are we talking about the Fort Lewis?
And that basically with the intention of connecting Louisville Park with the
Is this the right spot, Jeremy?
Or
and you can put my initials by that one as well.
Sure.
This is the Fort spot. Lewis, And then the Salachi chair.
Yeah, this one is supposed to be done in development. That is the Lower Daybreak, which is the Daybreak Regional Park facility. For some reason, I think we might do this.
Yeah, no,
It was 2006, 2,060,000. I think this is development of Daybreak Regional Park on that 100-acre piece.
This is where it gets confusing for me, because it'll be interesting to see what the state has to say about potential grants of those three right now, and whichever one they feel is going to be the strongest is the direction I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really kind of feeling a little...
A little squishy of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what
yeah, but
so
it closes gaps.
What's the difference between
me, that's critical.
What's an acquisition here?
But it is the biggest Well, that's true, but yeah. We don't know that yet.
And that's half the reason.
So I'm hesitating a little bit. I'm going to go to the trail.
I'm putting trails as number two, too, but yeah, going down.
That's essentially why I chose the trail, is I thought it stood the better chance from an application standpoint.
Well, that's my third vote. Yeah. It's actually number two on my list.
We got to remember, one of our stated goals was partnerships was number one.
Right. So that also fits there very well. Yeah.
It should.
And that helps get grants, too, when you're showing partnerships.
Well, right. That's how the state will pick a higher priority, because we will. The packet will show partnerships. So right. they're gonna weigh that in heavily.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying. It should what we do here and what we
but
do.
But if I vote on that one, then I've just left out a trail too, so I have to kind of and then rule reserve the right to change my mind.
Sure. Reserve the right. So it's the acquisition.
So did you get me on that, Jeremy?
No, I didn't.
Okay. That's my number three on the east.
Yeah, okay, it is acquisition, so it's $2 million
Greenway.
In acquisition. So yeah. East Fork Lewis Greenway.
Those gaps.
158
years. Yep. And that closes the gap between Daybreak and Louisville Park?
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever.
That's why it's high on my list.
Kelly, did you vote for this?
No, I got to stay with my trail.
Well, this actually, I think, is to close the gaps along the Greenway for a trail, right?
Oh, I'm all for it. I only get three votes, and I've already got two.
Exactly. You want to finish your trail?
You already spent two.
Yeah, okay. Lower Daybreak property here. Another acquisition.
Oh, he said no, not to put him there,
no,
Jerry.
He said no. Okay. Sorry.
We now know what Jeremy's vote is, because he's just going to manipulate it until it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Selection for Prairie Road Trail.
You can add me there.
So
oh, no, not there.
You're already spent.
No.
One down.
No, the next one. I thought he said the trail.
That's the railroad crossing, railroad trail?
Yeah.
And then
yes.
What's the development of, is that the development of that?
Yeah, this is by buying property, so we can create that. There's a piece on the north side between Battlegrounds and where the trail left off. And it's a piece of property that we need to acquire in order to make that that connection happen.
It has a partnership with the City of Battleground.
City of Battleground is interested in both trails.
It's been waiting so long.
Yes.
And, I'm
on that.
Yeah, Scott Sawyer, I've been with him three times now, and he's very interested in making his
community. Me too.
Particularly, of course, this one, and this one, Seven Morgan to Battleground.
So Seven Morgan is better.
That's why I wanted four votes.
I don't blame you. I wanted four, too.
And we met with a gentleman on this particular one from San Marvin Battleground. He lives next to Cedars Golf Course, and he is going out and actively fundraising to make that segment happen. Of course, he won the trail vote this year. Told him
let
it happen. But he's engaged, and he and Scott Sawyer, who's the public works director for Battleground, met with him, and he seems to have some friends with Deep Pockets, so that might help us out quite a bit.
What was that guy's name again? That's going to do the fundraising?
Don Herring is his name. He's a private citizen. And Jeremy and I have met him twice, and then we met with him most recently on Battleground with Scott Sawyer.
So if we add one more vote for everybody,
yeah,
I'm curious to see how things, whether the results change, because it sounds like there's a number of people wanting to go one more down. And of course, I've got a vote down there, so if it...
Yeah, if I was to add two more votes, I'd add two more to the lower pay grade.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
So, we've got the Slushy River Trail, Simon Morgan, to Battle Grove. So, it's a partnership with the City of Battle Grove, and we have private funding on that one.
So, we and John for the Battle Grove to DNR State Trail.
That's Battle Grove to...
Correct.
Yes. And that's to finish that 1.4 mile segment that's remaining. There's a trail that was started. It was 1.1 mile back towards Battleground from Battleground Lake State Park.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't get our land, we'll never build the trail. So
yes.
The priority has to be.
It's a
priority.
And I think
it's a hard one unless they give us an extra vote.
I don't know. So right. It is a 6-year plan.
All in favor of everybody getting one more vote?
Well,
that's fun.
So I'll trade you votes.
I like it.
I'll give you my vote. Yeah?
Well, the fact of the matter is we do not want to turn back money, and we want to get as much money from the state as possible. And so my votes are all put into a situation where we've either worked with something for a long time, with partnerships, or not turning money back. I just don't know how else we could do it. And so we've got to do all those. We've got to not turn the money back.
Would it make sense to give our direction to staff? We've got two clear winners there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just tell staff that the third vote is dependent on the outcome of a meeting with the granting agency.
Yes.
And whatever they say seems to be the highest for
our reserve.
Right. Yeah. Well, but why not just say that's what we want to do?
And my hope is to definitely meet with that in December. Yeah. We can revisit this as a board, probably in January. We do have until March, but we want to get going on these grants.
Because
we don't
know
this
just to
give
some guidelines from us.
Exactly.
To see where we're at.
Recommendations as to what your priorities are. And so we kind of get our marching orders from that. It helps us to make those decisions. Okay? Are we good?
Sounds like it.
I think we run
out of votes. Since we all used our votes, I think we're done. But you know that we feel that all of those are important.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. There again, you know, I don't think we can realistically go to RCO with 9 grant requests because we'll be the hogs at the table.
Then you look like your pigs.
Yes,
you won't be going through.
I've heard that complaint.
Yeah. Waste a lot of time.
You actually lose more that way too.
Yeah.
Because I've sat on some of those committees and they think you're being greedy, then you don't even get what they were maybe going to give you to start out with. So. Okay. All right.
Well, we can use this as a starting point. Unless you want to run a fourth vote, it's up to you.
I think
we got kind of an idea of what the priorities are. So we'll go from there. All right.
Super.
All right, thank you.
And then you'll let us know when you get the meeting rescheduled so that
Absolutely. Those
that are interested might toddle along with you.
You bet. Yes. We'd love to have some folks come along.
I would love to be there and hear, you know, where they're going to place their emphasis. Because sometimes they're more in developing what we've got than in acquiring new, and if that's what their priority is, that's where we'll get the most.
Yes, and just so you know, I was recently contacted by RCO, and they are actually looking for committee members to sit on the review boards. They have, of course, as you know, they have several different grant types, and some of those are really hurting for committee members to actually do the technical review and also listen to all the proposals. And so it's a 2-day commitment every other year, and it's a 4-year. Basically, it's a 4-year term. So you're up there actually twice. So it's a 2-day commitment. Sorry, 2-day commitment for technical review, and a 2-day commitment for the proposals. Listen to those. So it's basically 4 days out of your year, and it is held up there in Lacey. And so they are looking, I think I'm going to sign up for that and be one of those committee members. Did ask a question about conflict of interest, and as long as I am not proposing my own grants, anybody from staff like Jeremy can go up there and propose it, and I can still rate it. So there you go. So that's it's finished.
So the one issue we have is that there's CTO. So you just have to have obviously first and second, but not third. That's all we're going to address now. not really.
I wonder if we should try to poll the members that are not here, that are not present.
That's not a bad thought.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Give them the three choices.
Well, let's see. Let's take a look. Well, you already got Jennifer's up there.
Yes.
So that just is Greg and Candace.
Actually, we're missing Candace.
It's just be Candace.
Yeah, that's it.
Because Greg and Marcia have.
Well, he didn't resign.
Oh, he didn't. He just didn't.
No, he just wouldn't make this meeting.
Oh.
And then
he said he was resigning.
Did he resign too? Did I miss that?
And he doesn't intend to reapply.
Well, I know he doesn't intend to reapply.
So we've actually got two folks that we could actually pull and see if we can get their priorities. So if we do that, that might change this number.
Yeah.
Let me reach out to him and see what we can do.
Yeah.
And you might just
because
say
he's a current member.
Of the three that we tied on, which, you know, let them be the tiebreaker of those three.
There you go. Okay.
That would be good.
So long as the tie is in the Chalachi River.
Not that you have any bias.
All right. Okay, well, thank you.
So did you want to speak to the PAB application update?
Yes, and of course that application is due today, the 13th. What's that?
Today.
The 13th.
Today.
I think I gave it to John. Did it say the 13th?
And it's,
no. I
didn't.
Only because I thought it was.
Yes, it does say the 13th.
And so
today.
Today is the deadline for submitting, and that goes to.
Is there a designated format?
Basically, send in a resume and an interest letter, and not necessarily a resume if you don't want to. But I've been seeing resumes coming in along with an interest letter, so it's I would say just an interest letter providing background, some history, and the willingness to be on this Parks Advisory Board would probably be sufficient. But there again, our counselors will be interviewing all the applicants, and then I don't know if they're going to be interviewing the current board members who want to reapply. That's a question I can't answer just yet. I know for sure that they will want to interview anybody who's new coming in. And so far, including Barbara, so thank you for throwing your name in the hat. But we do have seven folks that have applied for board positions.
How many?
Seven.
Seven.
Yes. And just so you know, we have some dates that Jennifer Clark has set with the board for interviews. And I can, if you want to write these down, or I can send them to you by email. These are just tentative dates that she's got booked out for the counselors. That is December 3rd from 8 o'clock through noon. December 17th from 8 o'clock to noon. And December 21st from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
So, Bill, I'm confused on this. If I want to join Barb as co-chair, do I need to apply, or is that something that the group just...
No, actually...
Because my term goes for another year.
No, you're actually nominating from chair positions, and the secretary position. I think that happens in January.
Yeah.
I think that happens in January, does it not?
Yeah, that's...
So I don't need to do anything right now.
No, you don't need to do anything.
I like that. No. I don't have to do something now.
Your position is not expiring, so I think you're fine.
So I'm going to be out of the country the entire month of December and most of November, so I'm not available for an interview unless they want to do it by Skype.
Yes. There again, they may already, well, of course, they already know you too, so they may not have the need to interview you.
They may not know me well enough, she said. I guess I haven't.
So we'll ask that question and see and get an answer back to you, Kelly and Barbara. Both.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting. Well, I guess it just hit me. They're doing the interviews then in December, but you've got a new board in January. Almost a month. But that's their choice.
I'm thinking that the new board would be effective as of January 1st, if you will. And decisions will be made, and then the entire collective board will decide who the chair or the co-chairs will be, as well as.
No, I was looking at from the county counselor's position that the old is selecting next year when there's a new board, but it's the way the timing works out.
Yes,
nothing.
It is. Yeah. Well, we do know who the elects are, so maybe we can see if they want to join it. I don't know. They're actually in that role yet, so right. I don't think they would have that ability.
Well, just to make it clear here, I do intend to put my name in the ring just to carry on
okay. For
one more term.
Thank you.
Hopefully, I will not be in the chair, co-chair position. I will be just a member.
Okay. And so please today, get that in to Jennifer Clark. That'd be great.
It may not get there before 5, but it'll be there today.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kelly, there's going to be I'm sure there's going to be an open secretary position too.
Are you saying you have not enjoyed this?
No,
it so well under control.
Yeah, I love to serve, but I want someone else to experience it.
Sure,
been there, done that.
Well, we should have some newbies on next year that we can just say.
Yeah. Suck them in.
Sorry, you're the new person.
The newbie, as you were.
Right.
Now you're the senior member here.
All
right. Moving right along, the comp plan. Thanks, Bill. It's good to hear we have so many interested citizens.
Yes. That was quite
This looks really nice, and I do like the new tabs.
Yes, instead of going with a number tab,
so much
easier. It actually tells you the titles of the chapters, so you don't have to thumb through it, which is nice.
And so, a great picture book, too.
Yes.
Yes. So can we get a picture of the group with this? We thought, you know how we've talked, how we have a real need to start moving forward a little bit and getting parks more out there in front of people all the time? We thought of taking a picture. This was Kelly's idea, bless his heart. He's always innovative. He says, let's get a picture of the group with the new book, and then we'll all go put it on our Facebook feeds and like that.
This will include all of us.
Yeah. Yes.
You're included.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we'll ask one of our guests to take the picture.
That'd be great. Shall we do it?
Volunteer. Now
I assume everybody's got some other Twitter or something. We got to start.
It's time for them.
Okay, so the photo, you're holding, but we can all hold it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
It would be nice to have those ball pins in it.
Which one is that?
We
can
do that. I don't know. It may take away from the picture. It'd be too dark. We'll have to do it with that.
Happy dance with our new product.
Indeed.
and to be sure to pound up the fact that, hey, you guys are getting, what was it, 72 projects we identified, was
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, something like that. You know, it's time to start generating some of this enthusiasm in the community from within ourselves.
You bet. That sounds great.
Super. All right, moving right along. Cougar Creek Woods concept plan. We'll start out with you, Bill, and let you introduce Melotta when you
okay.
get here.
Sure. And we want to start off with...
Well, actually, I don't want to steal any of Melotta's thunder, so I might just introduce Melotta. So.
Okay.
But
I'll introduce my assistant, Jerry Allen. This is Brad Edmonton, who just joined us in Meba Treasurer. And this is Jenny Allen, who's one of the co-chairs. And I'm AJ, and she takes the notes to make sure to keep me on my toes. So anyway, in front of you, you have a two-page summary of our staff report. I'm going to call it staff report, our volunteers. And of course, it's a proposed conceptual master plan for Cougar Creek Woods Community Park, which is right here. And this was one of our original drawings. And this particular proposal is for the Cougar Creek Woods Community Park itself, the Cougar Creek Trailhead, which what this particular property was purchased for, and of course the trailhead is right here, and the Cougar Creek Greenway Trail segment, which is on the overhead. You see the new revised alternative 3 that shows the maintenance road access. And of course, it also shows some additional trails there to connect certain features.
The yellow is the maintenance road?
Correct. And we thought that would be the easiest way, you know, to build the trail and also co-locate the maintenance road as well as the ADA accessible road. So that will be one of our redesigns to accommodate that. And as you can see, there's a natural access point to main roads and two points. So, and of course, that's where most of the traffic will be because that's where most of the activities are. Parking is right there. And then the rest of it is pretty much existing wood out there. In the report, you see the beautiful, beautiful kids. That this is our first board that we have decided to put out there for the public signatures. And we have senators and head representatives. We had a former commissioner assignment along with the kids. And we have about 15 of those boards. On page one, we're basically describing this piece of property that was purchased by the Public Works. Vancouver Aquatic Parks and Recreation Real Property Services for Community Park, the trailhead, and the connector to the Cougar Creek Woods Trailway, the Greenway. And that is, of course, following most of this area. However, there's still some links that have not been purchased yet. So we're proposing to only go from the park to north to 119th. And of course, to cross 119th is another story. So we are not about to embark on that journey. And so, of course, the property was purchased to meet all of those criteria that were set for a community park that was identified as needed in Park District Number 9. And also, to allow us to apply for the RCO grant, which we're applying for out of cycle in a second attempt, because the first attempt was pulled off of the print agenda, but the second attempt was very, very, very much successful. And of course, we had a lot of letters of support that were going from the community to the Board of Commissioners, to the RCO folks, just about anybody and everybody would listen
And they realized how much support there was for this particular park, but also that people wanted to keep most of the feature or most of the park or 7 acres of it in natural setting. And of course, as you see on the map, there's some ADA accessible areas that we have planned into it, as well as the picnic areas that would also be ADA accessible. And then there's a nature play area with mountain slides, etc. that you will see some of the examples that we'll show in the slides as to what we have envisioned for the natural area. The Green Mountain concept is based on Mount Hood, Mount Adams, and Mount Hill. They're not going to be quite geographically correct. But the topography on that site is very much, this is very high ground up here. Now, there's a big giant berm right here that is right adjacent to the houses. So as you stand right here in front of that house, in a driveway, you'll be looking at a berm that's about that tall. And of course, it's kind of like cut off like that, and then there's a fence right underneath it, and the fence always sticks up about, and then you have to put over the berm. And so the folks that are adjacent right here have concerns about the water runoff, stormwater runoff. And so they wanted to be that particular berm to be lowered to where there would be less runoff, but there's a natural way of sloping it into the stormwater facility, which is right about there. There used to be a house right here, which burned. That was phase one improvements, quote unquote. And also the septic system had to be decommissioned. So that was also phase one improvements. So, but the stormwater facility right here was quote unquote capable of handling the stormwater runoff from that particular house, as well as from the ground, which is permeable, of course, but they also, the topography itself is such where it slopes from here down towards the amphitheater area. And topography lends itself to putting a rain garden right here. And of course, we have Clark Conservation District, which is going to be designing some of it. It will go through the professional design, but that's just one example of what's going to be done with that. And also, there's a restroom that is based on the design that's right now in the Lyda Park. And
so this would be considered community park?
It is a community park.
Yes.
It was purchased to meet the need for a community park in that area, Park District Number 9. So the restroom would be, of course, accessible from the parking lot, the trails, and everything else. There's going to be a pad around just like it is in the Lyda Park, and we'll see it on the slides. And then also the picnic shelter. The Library Association is proposing to set up a foundation account, or foundation account, to pay for the picnic shelter, just like we did with the Glider Park.
You just don't have to continue to hold it on the topic right here.
So, and then of course the ADA accessibility was number one, and play areas for ADA. As well as seniors, was very much on people's minds. And we have spoken to thousands of people. And of course, this particular concept, the concept number one, which is attached, here's concept number two, which is attached, and this is alternative number three. And with the alternative number three, that was the preferred alternative that was chosen by a lot of people. There's a sample response from just two events that we had. And so it was like 543 votes on Exhibit A that were for this particular concept, minus maintenance roads at that time. So let's go to the next slide. next map. So here you're seeing it in a little bit less crowded concept where these are the labels for different. And of course, the park sign is going to be a big one. We would like to keep it nice and natural, but of course, we know that you have to give our CO the acknowledgement for the grant that was received from them. I mean, $500,000 should be reflected. And then, of course, we've got the natural area where the amphitheater area is, and all that water will run off right into the stormwater when it rains. But kids also use it as a sledding kind of a hill and run up and down and have a lot of fun here. So we're not going to burn it. It's just going to be remain as is. And it's perfect for blankets, chairs, whatever they want to bring with them. But the amphitheater area can be used for educational purposes for the rain garden concept. And of course, we're going to have interpretive plaques all the way through the park. And we have university, Omni, history bus, and archaeologists and professors. They're going to be preparing those plaques, not only about the nature, but also the history of the place, as well as the need for ecosystem protection. And the Omni is going to give them beautiful. I know you've been to Omni, the back there, where they have this salmon cycle right there on the pavement. So we thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice to have something like that in those ADA accessible areas, you know, for the kids to look at, and it's just very attractive.
What is it?
It's a circle of life in the salmon. So it shows.
Oh, okay.
So it shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and salmon, you know, chicken or the egg, whichever comes first, you know. So it shows the salmon beginning and ending its life cycle. But it also shows why it's important for us to keep the environment safe, clean, and to be good stewards of the land. Now, because we have a coastal drive, we have a lot of environmental debris out there for the display. A lot of these kids learn a lot about sustainability. So they were actually the ones that were telling us what they would like to see in the park, including they were choosing. They're choosing things like, we have like about 100 boards, 100 slides, and these are the ones that survived the process. And it was because, like, if you're going my kids fishing, kids with special needs, they cannot talk to us, but they can most certainly draw beautiful, beautiful pictures. So we're hoping that maybe we can put some mosaics as well, and that would be, of course, private equipment. And we do have actually right now a potential donor. And this one here I chose because it does show the play areas would be surrounded by either the cedar chips or maybe concrete or permeable surface or bark. And then of course the folks with hearing impairment and visual impairments wanted something that they could feel. So we could go to the slides, and we thought that a lot of these slides ended up there too, but these are examples from actual, and that, oh, by the way, that's the trail from the segment that we were thinking about. And where you see the dotted line down the bottom, the county does not own that piece of land yet. However, it's only useless to the person who owns it. So we're hoping, with some encouragement maybe, that that would become part of the trail. The little bridge that's down here that the City of Vancouver / Clark Parks person put in for the grant application does not have to be built until there's that lake there. And of course, the wetlands have been delineated. There's a report from Cascadia Engineering, and this has been studied. So as you can see, the trail is 250 feet away from the Class 3 wetland. This is probably the only place where you have that many wetlands in this particular segment, because if you zoom out of that, you'll be able to see that it goes to 119 in the pretty much almost a straight line. We do have Washington Trails folks that want to adopt this trail as well, and they also, one of the board members, of committee members for the trail has been very much involved with the Willow Creek Trail. So they've got a lot of expertise and experience. We do need to keep them away from the project because they're raring to go as we speak. So, and of course, none of this will be done without approval and review by the county, as well as necessary permits that are necessary for this particular project. And also for the park and the trailheads as well.
Did you say the small dash lines are non-county owned yet and the larger dash are owned, or is it the opposite?
The opposite. The ones south, I'm looking at it south,
yeah.
Or down towards the bottom with the big dashes,
yeah.
That's the one. That one is not owned by
that. That's the only one that's not owned. Okay.
It was,
but everything up to 119 from the foot trail is
correct.
Owned. Great.
And, but the there's also some more segments that are down below that dashed line. However, those are not connected 100%. There's some missing links there. And but this particular site with the dashes right there where the head is, that's been going to require the stormwater runoff mitigation for the subdivision that's adjacent to it. And also, there's some, what do you call it, the TDR, so the transfer of development rights on that particular site as well. Now, that dark blue, that's the one that has the Clark Regional Wastewater Sewer Line coming right through that. So they are saying that they will be our partners to help us build the trail. And to help us to stabilize the banks as well as do some additional plantings. And of course, the Clark Conservation District is going to do the same. And we have a lot of many other partners. We actually have like 27 different teams that would like to work on that. And then, of course, all of the perks have been advertised through our newsletter since the acquisition. So that's how people find out about that. Being a part of our site, which is their business. And once in a while, we have to remind them that they need to step up to the plate and do something. However, we have people coming out of the woodwork that want to do it willingly and want to participate in the adoptive part.
I have one big concern. I would like to think that you're going to have the main trail that would actually connect through from the trail here into the park, and what you've got is just
it's a walkway,
yeah. It's just a, what do you call it?
Yeah.
Have a term for it.
Woodchip path?
Woodchip path.
Woodchip path, right.
I would hope we would want.
Right.
So in that plan, I would prefer to have what would be a regular trail going all the way from the park.
Now, the reason why it just became that, because it's not for the ADA accessible because of the steep terrain and there's However, it can be made, you know, at the 8-foot width, that would be much more accessible as well.
So that to me, that's going to bring that whole part of the community.
Exactly.
And if we're going to have this public trail, it's going to be huge. We never get this, we just got the access.
And of course, we're proposing this development as phases.
Well, if you're doing the concept plan here.
The concept plan is here, yes.
The proposal for you is that be considered as your white line.
Okay. As a lifeline. All right. Now, would that have to be an 8-foot, 10-foot, 12-foot?
Well, let's just get it on there as a white line as opposed to chip. Put your program
in.
All right.
Go as it goes.
Okay. So.
Even if we have to do stairs, and there are some of our trail areas where you have to, you know, get on stairs to get there because it's a difficult ravine, that would be, you know, knowing that and you can't get down other than better to be developed than a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I like your idea, Kelly.
We just need to consider that all connected, especially if it is a community park.
Yeah, I think the reason why we went to that street originally, we were going to have to take through the park.
And then if you were to look even bigger out on this map, Mulata, this is fantastic in terms of connectivity to a community and to existing trails. If anyone, which a lot of you probably have, it's the first who live on the other side of town, been up and down 119 with the big steep hill and the lack of sidewalks on both sides, this looks like there's a road across the street, and then there's a subdivision that's building on 21st that will connect this road and this property to the rest of the community up on top of that hill and provide them a safe pathway down to the creek, which a lot of people walk that and run that. It's just constantly busy. So I really applaud the connectivity that this park creates off a roadway. Completely away from the road.
This whole corridor, at some point, I worked on a plan 15 years ago that called for a trail loop in our corridor. Now, some of that's been lost to development. But that's why I think it's important that this be a destination from, you've got Santa Cruz Trail down here, so there's a lot of pieces that are considered. And it's all in the trail master plan, so you're not out of line with what we envisioned.
So it makes it much more important.
Yeah,
and then, of course, as you come down the 119th, there's dips like that, and then comes up. Well, that's where you see sometimes, you know, people parking when they're into the roadway. And that's why we wanted to make sure that we have, and there was one person that had a wheelchair that parked right there for the mortal right into the traffic that. So that's why we also applied to handicap accessible parking spots on the master plan that was revised for the old maintenance roads. Now, any more questions on this particular thing? No? Okay, so we'll revise that and make it much more important. And so I'm going to show you this, some of the slides that my daughter prepared in 10 minutes. We couldn't get our consultant who's on vacation to give us schematics. So we're going to go to the next one. Of course, there's deer in this park. This we thought maybe would be maybe appropriate in two spaces for the trails, because up on top you still have access for handicapped seniors up there. They could maybe enjoy something with a small little children. I know it's hard to maintain, but maybe we did away with some of the benches that are going to go to the roller skater. Useful, and they can break them up into little stools where the wheelchair can come to the table and sit there. So that would be like in one or two spots, and again, it'll be privately sponsored. Okay, next one. That's a side view of that. Okay, next. This is the natural picnic area that we thought would be very nice. This is from the Marshall Center. They would be very nice in the natural areas and in the ADA accessible areas.
This is the style of bench. The park table we use now, the old one was built in the 70s.
And the old one cost $5,000 each.
Well, they were the state. They were WDOT standard.
Yeah. So they still steel construction for the frame. And then, of course, the next slide, and as you can see, there's natural area play areas, including the little bridge that is sand or gravel, but it's not very high up, so kids cannot fall off of it, but they still have enjoy going across the bridge. Next. And there's a frog right there. And we've had so many kids chasing those frogs that we cannot ignore that fact. There's some boulders that do look like frogs. Maybe some of them may have a little bit of chipping or so. Next. And then, of course, kids love those wood lotus paths and the natural area back there. And that would be very nice, probably also by the Three Mountain concept, including a little bridge to connect the Three Mountains with fake soil from the berm that should be removed from the residence property line. Next. This was at the Hood River Park out there, and they told me that they didn't send me schematics and engineering drawings for that at the little bridge. And of course, we don't have to have water there or gravel, and then of course that'll be a natural collector anyway. So maybe there could be a little rain garden on the sides of it or whatever. But the bridge would be a nice connector to the Green Mountains, or just as a play area. And it could be much lower. Next. This is also at the river out there. And that's a climbing wall that's built into the hillside, so without on the mountain constant. If it was built into the hillside of the mountain, that's not to be very high. I saw a whole bunch of kids there, of course. I waited for about an hour until they left because I didn't want to have, you know, authorization to use the slide. And then, of course, the slides would be great on those three mountains on set. And then, of course, again, there's natural planting and natural boulders as well as tree trunks. Next. And this is an example of the interpretive class that we were talking about again. That will be privately subsidized as well as developed with experts on board. And that's another example. And then, of course, we had a lot of people were asking for something like this. So that could be more of a play area that could be accessible by all. Next. This is from Sergeant Greg Crawford Park, and this is the structure on the left. Some folks really like it, some folks don't like it, but once in a while it's going to be used by the older kids versus the younger kids, so we probably have to be away from where the young kids would be. Next. And this is the entire play area at Sergeant Crawford Park. If we could get it like in green to go with the nature concept, green and brown thing, I think that would be a very nice little boat or fort or whatever, but it's a very nice structure that has a lot of neat little features in it. Next. And this is the picnic shelter in Palaida with the billy pad and access, and also the area where a lot of things, a lot of picnics, a lot of events, and of course, the July is being held. And this particular picnic shelter was built entirely with BIA funding through a lot of donations that one of the contractors had arranged for us. Yeah, but we had to put in the picnic tables, and there's six up inside the shelter, four on the outside. And some people like the sun, some people like the shade, you know, so it gives them an option. And those are very popular during events. And there was like almost $5,000 to look from that shelter, so maybe we can talk them into what I'm looking to need that particular donation pattern, but we would like them to donate directly to the Parks Foundation. Next. And that's the other side of it. Next. Next. That's the bathroom, that's the restroom. And this particular restroom is very adequate for 4,500 people. During the 4th of July.
I'm not sure I agree with that. If you've seen the lines at the 4th of July.
There are
but
some
most lines. Days it is quite adequate.
I did pull the rag once or twice because I had to get back to my station on the 4th of July. It does have also the drinking fountain there and the electricity. And that's why I took it during the time that the electricity was on, because we do have a need for the electricity inside of it. But we also have some teams that would be more than willing to, because there has to be a sewer connector, and which is at one end of the corner, southwest corner of the property. But this is kind of like south, north, kind of like between the north and the south in the middle there, in your map. So we have contractors that have offered, that are licensed, bonded, and insured, that have offered supply, in-kind, labor, and their use of their equipment to lay the extra additional piping with the approval of the parks and public works and the Clark Region water sewer. So, and of course, the trash catchments are missing the connection. And that's on the front. And there are bricks over there in front of that particular picnic shelter that we're quote unquote installed. But we're selling them like, or looking for sponsorships at $25. We subsidize them with other fundraising and other funds in order to let people know that they own this park, that they have stake in it. However, we don't have to have them because it takes a lot of time to monitor them. So next. And this is a drum concept that can be possibly shooting them off those schematics. This is a good river, actually. And I tried it, and they're not that noisy. And the wind and all that, you know, takes kind of care of any sound. But there were also some wind chimes on one of them that had wind chimes for the visually and hearing repair. And there was a feeling of vibration. And that's, I think, the end of the, oh, this is the last slide. The Three Mountain concept had been developed by an architect, a landscape person, to put it into the lighted beach park. However, we're not about to bring in any soil out there. We're even propose it to you to do that. However, here in this particular site, that we have perfect holding pattern for the soil that you're removing from by those two homes. So that concludes my presentation.
Thank you.
Sir, I had an informational rally and had a meeting at the park. Got all the families there and kids are really good kids too. The forks are kicking soccer balls, the chasing their fence, the fence are chasing them. I looked out, here's this 3-year-old boy running up the side of the hill as fast as his chubby little legs will propel him. And about 30 yards behind is his father who's huffing and puffing. As fast as his chubby leg would propel him. And it's just one of my fondest memories of that day. And that's what it's all about. His family, community, and the play area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Bill, did you need a position from the group?
Yes. With the presentation, I think WADA, I know, and the Flood and Neighborhood Association has been working many years on this, endlessly, countless hours, and
yes.
We're so dedicated to seeing this park come to fruition, at least in the comprehensive plan for now, and then as we move forward, we go into the design, and then with the intention of actually building the park as a community park. Not only is it a community park, but it is also a regional trail connector, and it's... With the trail linkage that goes up down 119th Street, that actually becomes part of the regional trail system. And that trail going south, even though we don't own all the segments, but that trail is intended to go all the way to Hazeldale Avenue and then connect into another network of trails. And so it's a very critical link. And it also, with the parking component that's there, it's very important that we have a trailhead there with the restroom, shelters, it's a community park, and it's I think it's going to be a great attribute to Clark County.
With that connection, that we'll have a higher point gathering from the state with grants.
Yes.
We can pull that together to fit more categories, get higher points.
Exactly. Yes.
They're doing a perfect example of how the future of parks is going to be with all the effort that they're doing. I appreciate it. I just hope more communities
I think with the vote of support from the Parks Advisory Board, I would probably then go out for a staff report to see if we can move this forward to get this concept plan.
What we're approving today is a concept plan for this. There's issues with the drainage. I want to make sure that's all been blessed by the engineering people and all that stuff, but it does make a difference in how it goes, but I think we're on a great course towards a great project, much like Flyda Park was years ago.
Jennifer?
Is it possible, Bill, to coerce the county into painting a sidewalk along 16th Avenue that connects the adjacent or the across the little street across there to. Do you think there's any hope for that?
Where is this?
We're talking right here.
Across from 16th Ave. So if as those, as we think futuristically, and as the homes are getting developed on the 26th and 21st, there's about 45 of those very dense homes. And they have little parks within them, but the connectivity to this trail, I think, will be heavily utilized. And then, if I'm envisioning right, but I can't see it all connects to this little tiny guy here, because you can go now through neighborhoods to get across. So just providing that crosswalk would just be
that?
Nice.
Yeah, that was something that was brought up as a priority several times by residents.
Well, and we talked about it here as when Greg showed his, we said, hey, it ought to be on our radar for getting crosswalks.
And the same for me, Chinook.
Yeah. And I'm going
to
work with,
some time.
I have to work with transportation first, but I think I'm going to work with Michael Derlis to get sidewalk in front of the, if you go to 116th and cross 119th, sidewalk from the country store development to this, across the country store development, and a hawk signal that would maybe at 119th be a button push where people could cross safely.
Is that feasible? We did talk about the importance of that.
Did you say you talked to Michael Derlis about it?
We're thinking of writing a grant together, the Safe Routes to School grant.
Okay.
We conjured up the concept, and I've taken it to my transportation department, and we're talking about how we might eliminate some bus stops and allow more connectivity to the school if we were to add a couple segments or a hawk signal or something.
Yeah.
So he was going to take that back to your transportation folks and ask what's possible.
It's a good time to bring that up because when you guys need to know about it.
It'd be like a March application, I think. Wednesday I meet with Carol, who's been working in transportation. We have a map that Michael's provided around what is situated where and what would need to be sort of included in that grant component. So we thought we'd at least explore it to get better connections there for walking.
That's great. Yes.
So did I hear that that is something that we could add as a component to this, or that it's going to stand separately?
A crosswalk around one of
the crosswalks. It would be separate. Are you talking about the cross?
Yeah, the
crosswalk. You're talking about two things. You're talking about the sidewalk and then
the... Is this really considered a mid-block crossing then? Is that what you would consider?
That's what we would consider as a mid-block.
It's not the easiest thing to get accomplished.
It's not always. It depends.
It's early times.
I can't remember. It's fairly flat right there.
It is.
It is, yes.
But it's something that we could look at. I mean, we have put them in. We typically like to put in the hawk signal with it, and that's about a $200,000 price tag on those. But it may be in an area that we could look at with the transportation folks, given the visibility either way, that maybe some other signage rather than a full-blown hawk signal would work.
Okay.
But I agree, it makes sense, because it sounds like things are developing to the west.
I think so. Did Jeremy, are we able to get Google Maps up to see?
I'm trying to pull a map.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I said it at one point when you first talked about it, Milana, and I thought, wow.
And we actually have 119th Street Committee out there because they were having problems with their kind of development as well as crossing across the street from the country store.
That would be my potential grant. So maybe I can, once we, if the concept gets fleshed out more and it meets the criteria of the grant, then I can come to you a little bit. Catch that connection.
Great.
So is there a motion to support this concept plan?
Do we dare not?
I'm just asking because I can't put
a motion. So moved.
Seconded.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that TAB wholeheartedly supports the concept plan as presented with the revisions suggested. All in order? All in favor?
Aye.
I just want to pull this up real quick.
And the Cougar, I guess we should clarify, it's the Cougar Creek Woods
That road doesn't connect.
Plan.
So
it doesn't connect off 116th. We'd have to buy a trail connection, maybe. 116th to the left, see that big field to the left? That's what's being developed. Mm-hmm. So 116th, as it goes through, how can we punch through to that development? Or is there a master plan to do that?
What's the phase of the development? Has it been fully?
The roads have been added.
Okay, so it's in process.
Yeah, but there are three parks on that property. There are three mini parks, I should say, or there was in the original concept that I saw. I believe it was a developer's agreement with creating more dense housing by providing open space for the public. So if I'm thinking right, there's a developer is putting in those three little spaces, but they're for community.
If they are, it'll be private.
It'll be like, they'll be like in my housing development where they don't let people other than residents.
Like a half lot or lot size?
They will be private then.
But we're doing just the concept plan.
Yeah,
there.
We're just...
So the idea is we want as good of access from the neighborhood into the park as possible. So,
Yeah, but there is
as
no
that develops further along, I think we will all be supportive.
We could look at the crosswalk and the sidewalk as separate.
As separate issues,
Okay.
Yeah. We're in support of the concept plan as presented today with the revisions on the stormwater runoff and
the trail
change, right. So, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. And you're going to run fast with it, right, Bill?
Yep.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
Very exciting. Awesome to see that jeopardy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Bill, you're...
Yes. Hold on. Can I put you in the corner? Camp Perry Trail? Yes.
So Camp Curry is next.
I believe I brought this up at our last Parks Advisory Board meeting. And this was at the time, City of Camas is exploring, they are putting a sewer line in, connecting Camas to Green Mountain. And what they were exploring was the best route for the sewer line to travel, whether to travel up the street, or if it bisects, goes through Camp Curry, which is a large piece of property that we've got. And if that were the case, then that would actually provide us another regional trail connection that would be very important to us in the future of our trail building. Ben, in fact, they're actually out there all of this week exploring the site from all directions and making sure that it is feasible and cost effective to go out there with this trail system. Okay, so let's see here. This is OTAC's rendition right here. Okay, so here's our Camp Curry property. Here's the Green Mountain development area up here. And trying to put all this into this perspective here. So over here, we've got this one. This area right here is all Camp Curry. And this is where the actual youth camp is right here along the lake itself. And so this road is actually not going to be encroaching into the youth camp and the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. But it will come out, it will connect Camp Curry from this road. And that sewer line should go all the way down to Ledbetter and go all the way into Camas. But then they're going to continue up this road and go over this direction. They're talking about going this way, northwest, and then cutting all the way over. Right here is where we've got the Lapis Heritage Trail that takes you all the way down the west side of Lapis Lake. It takes you all the way down to Lapis Lake Park. This trail is going to connect us to that, not only that, but we have an easement right here, and there's a brand new development that's going in, which we've negotiated park access fee up to Green Mountain, which we own from the summit east. It's a 300-acre park.
Phenomenal piece of property.
What's that? It's huge. Yes, it's a wonderful piece of property. It's primarily being used for equestrians. Equestrian use by now, there's two big horse clubs that utilize it. And so we connect into the sewer line, which will be a fully developed sewer line that's going to be graveled and developed. We can actually put this trail lake in, and then that'll connect us right into this ready development. It's the access point is right here, straight up the hill, right into Green Mountain. So back in the circuit trail, it'll connect us here, and then our next what we're going to do is try to connect this trail back down to Lapis so we make a full loop around the entire lake. To do that, this is school property right here. So we have two options. That is right down this road, which the shoulders are very, very narrow. And so we're talking about looking at that going through this direction. There's a road that touches through here. We have to do some work with some landowners, but then come down this road and connect in. So we'll have to explore that later on. But there's been a big push from the city of Camas to expand the equestrian trails. And I think this is going to be a good opportunity for them to connect Green Mountain into the Camp Perry site. So all this property right here is essentially unutilized. This is forested land. And so we're the only usage being right here. So I think this is going to be a fantastic trail connection. So at the very least, we'll have Green Mountain, which there's a huge development going in up there, 1,600, 2,200 homes all together. They're going to have to take out the golf course to build some of these homes. And that'll connect Green Mountain to Alaska's Heritage Trail. So this site has a lot of potential for growth. And of course, working with the city of Camas at potential projects.
Has everybody been on that Alaska's Trail?
Yeah.
It's a great trail.
What's really nice about this is that it's not going to cost us anything. It could very well start going in.
In the next few months.
Fits right in the budgets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it works well for us. So.
Well, and has there been discussion on, as the Johnson Farm gets developed off to the right there, whether that can connect in as well?
Very possible, yes. We haven't had a discussion on that, no.
That definitely needs to be possible. There.
Is this all in Camas, or is it Washougal, or is it...
It's in Camas.
What is it?
Yeah, it's in Camas.
22 home development going up there, huh?
It's huge. Yeah, basically the whole west side of Green Mountain, including the whole golf course area. And everything east of
the darker shaded area, Camas city limits?
Yes.
Looks like it.
Yes. And so, essentially, the golf course ends right here, goes west. So this is all going to go away. This is a new development that's going up and goes up in the summer.
Wait, what do you mean it's going to go away?
What's that?
The golf course.
Golf course.
Oh, Green Meadows golf course.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Camas Meadows. I was having a hard time. I'm like, what? Camas Meadows is going away.
It's a Green Mountain golf course.
No, I gotcha.
Not Camas Meadows. So somebody told me the other day, said, "Camas Meadows is going away."
My heart skipped a beat there for a minute.
So is the Girl Scout camp, are that staying there?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. It's going to be unaffected. It all resides right along this little area right here.
Actually, it's an improvement to the Girl Scout camp because then they have a
trail access. We want to have a security concern.
Depends on who you're talking to, whether it's an improvement.
And as this develops and as they make a decision, I will definitely keep you apprised of what's going on. And of course, we'll try to squeeze the turnip and get as much out of it as we possibly can. If I can make this connection here, that'd be great. And then also maybe make this connection to the trail end.
We need that connection up to Green Mountain too at some point.
And just so you know, Camas is currently expanding the Lacus Heritage Trailhead. They're going to double it in size. This piece right here is owned by Camas. Their pump station is going to be here. They're actually going to flip flop the parking lot and double up the size. And they're actually working on that right now.
If a hiccup develops and we need to focus on one part of that or another, I would say connecting Green Mountain to the existing Heritage Trail is ginormously huge.
Absolutely, yes.
So,
yeah. And what's nice is it is part of our original, regional plan, so it falls really well into that. Okay.
Bill, how are you able to get so much done? Some of us sat on the parks thing for years, and we haven't made as much connection and process in the previous life of parks. Do you think, Kelly? As we've made in the last year?
I think the whole 2000 era, we were busy.
It's all your fault, Jennifer.
No, but we've been really fortunate with people calling us and getting in touch with us. And there's just developments going on, and along with development comes opportunities.
Yeah.
And so it's all about partnership.
Thank you guys for doing
something.
And leveraging those building opportunities.
Yes, absolutely.
That is that's some of the best news I've had in a while.
That's good.
Yeah, I hope it works out. I hope that the only thing that could compromise this project is that if they find out there's way too many wetlands in this area, of course, you can see a creek crossing here.
Yeah,
there's actually already a logging road that goes through here and spans over it, but the forest has to probably look at the mitigator around this. But that's what they're analyzing right now to see if this line is going to be cheaper to run it this way rather than going up this road and blocking traffic and coming all the way back down this direction. So, fingers crossed. Well, I think we will find out. They're out there all this week, and we should hopefully find out something next week or the week after.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Phil.
You bet.
That's exciting news. Next thing on the agenda is a little bit of app stuff. First, I wanted to let you all know that we've received from Marcia, obviously, her resignation. And we all, I'm sure, are sending good thoughts her way. I meant to bring a card today for us to send, and I got sidetracked. She had an accident this last weekend and was injured pretty severely. And so I just thought I would ask all of you how you felt about me just signing your name to the card so we could, as a group, get it off to her, wishing her well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because she was, yes, it was. And then, because I'd asked her if she could make it at least for the picture after all the time she showed up with her cane and in pain this past year to be part of it. And she was planning on being here today, but for that.
Photoshop her in.
Yeah. Photoshop, that's a good idea. I think I'll try that. So moving along as far as the group and coming together and enjoying each other's company, we were thinking maybe instead of doing a formal meeting next month with the holiday season upon us, that we might think about getting together in an informal setting, maybe sharing a potluck of your favorite appetizer. Bill has sweetly volunteered some funds. My daughter has volunteered her home, if we'd like, and it's quite large and accommodating for many. You probably see the martini up on Lookout Ridge as you go home, because you live out Camas Way. That's her house. So I thought we'd just ask if there's interest on December 11th. You like her already, yeah. They've got a wine room
December 11th, almost as big as this half. A Friday?
It's a Friday. December 11th is our next meeting. And I just thought I'd ask the group if they would like to do that, or if everybody feels a little pressure
talked about the possibility of inviting the City Parks Commission.
I was going to get to that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
I wanted to know if we wanted to do it.
if they're serving martinis, I'm there.
Okay, I can say martini. Well, I said I'd get the vodka because I don't like wine. Kelly's bring wine, I know.
I won't be here
on the 9th or the 11th either.
Oh, you won't be on the 11th?
No, my husband.
Do we want to look at a different date?
You don't have to hold off for me.
Sweetheart, it wouldn't be the same.
I have one on the 9th and I have one on the 11th for sure.
Are you still making the offer in February?
Be more fun in the holidays. I'm just asking.
No, I'm kidding.
You have to party?
I don't party that much, but I'd love to come hang. And
all right.
Yeah.
How about you, Heath?
I will be out of town on the 11th.
Sounds like half the group is out. So maybe we should go for a
different
day.
You guys are going to get really wasted.
So what do we have for a calendar?
About the 18th.
Go out a week? On the 18th? What are people's calendars looking like there?
Let's see. Now, Dr. Webb has not sent anything out yet, so maybe he's not having something. Or I wasn't invited. Could be one or the other. Let's take a peek here.
Peeking too.
Like.
Other than a guitar lesson, I'm good. Not my guitar. How about you, Bill? What's your calendar?
I'm around for the whole holiday season, so.
You're good to party anytime, huh?
Yes.
Chris?
Pretty open.
Do the 18th.
Looks good?
I will check
okay,
her out.
So along those lines, we thought it would be, in the spirit of trying to build relationships, to invite the City Parks and Recreation Board to join us.
Of course, as long as we're doing it in Camas, it would be polite to invite the
Camas people. Yeah.
Parks Board.
I agree.
How does that sound?
How big is your daughter's place? How much
does
she
really
want to? Okay.
Yeah, I was saying her wine room is probably from Chris Over.
Okay. We'll be there.
Exactly.
Number 8.
Of course, I don't know how much they've gotten racks filled in there. They've been putting racks in.
They like the wine, huh?
So, they enjoy. All right, so the 18th, and how about anybody shoot me a list of people we should send an invite to?
Okay.
Because we would not want to be exclusionary, and this is
why don't you just call Chris Roper?
Yeah.
Let him handle that type of thing.
Well, for the that I'm saying the other.
Oh, the
any
I,
others?
Oh, I see.
Because in the essence of building relationships, because we know that's where we get things accomplished.
Maybe this is where you.
This is the way we.
Seven potential.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe I don't know.
Actually.
But this is the opportunity to build those relationships in an informal setting.
Good idea.
And whoever gets the RCO job, definitely bring them down and line them up.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, and then tell Leanne that I'll get with her to.
RCO
work out some of the details.
Grant person.
That sounds great. Quit.
Okay. Moving right along. You started on your manager's report, Bill.
I sure did.
We're back to it.
And with the contract was HDR. Just brief. This is just really brief. We secured a contract with HDR to assist us in going out and searching for properties, particularly in 5th District 10. 5th District 6, where concurrency is closest, and so they should be starting for us at any time. Is that right, Jeremy?
Yeah, I actually got an email with a list of potential properties
by the 20th. Fantastic.
This is
for Districts 10 and 6.
The District 10 and 6,
is
correct.
Is 9 in jeopardy? Of
no, not yet.
No, it's not. Yet. However, that's another thing I wanted to talk about just briefly.
We spent it, though, right? That's what? Why?
What's that?
We spent it on the parking lot?
Not necessarily.
No, necessarily.
We didn't. Oh, okay.
Oh, along those lines, I did talk with Jennifer Konopesek and Jennifer Hilkel from the North Santa Creek Neighborhood Association, and they wanted me to make sure. They wanted to be here today, but they couldn't. So that the group would know that the neighborhood is very, very excited and willing to work with us should you get some land.
Okay. Thank you. I'll talk about that real briefly. We have an opportunity that came up this last Friday, and it was a property owner in Park District 9.
That, is this the one I sent you on?
Yes, it is. Yes. You want to bring that up, Jeremy, real quickly? I'll show it to you.
Love to hear it.
Yes. And this actually plays very well into our build-out on Park District 9. If you remember, in the comp plan, we have there's a map for each one that shows the half-mile walking distance to each park. And then we've got little stars in the areas where we should have a park in the future. This sits right on top of one of those stars. It is over. Actually, do we have a one that shows the entire area first? We can zoom on in. Okay, there we go. So this is flooded.
Technical difficulties.
This is Florida Community Park. This is Foley, right here. Of course, Cooper Creek Woods is right down here. And so we actually have a star sitting right about in this area right here. So that only gives us two opportunities of properties to look at, this one and this piece right here, which I've looked at. It's landlocked. It'd be very difficult to get into. This one is on Northwest 31st Avenue. The school is right here. It was right behind. And it's 4.78 acres. And the owner is looking at about $1 million. That's what he's asking for. And it's judging by what properties cost nowadays, I think it's pretty close. It's tax assessed at about $565,000, but I know it's extremely low. So with your support, we'd like to research this property and potentially acquire it. And so We do have a little over $1 million in Park District 9 for acquisition, and so our first step would be to do a Yellow Book appraisal on the property. And if our numbers match up, the appraisal value with regard to how much he's asking, it is a possibility that we can make a deal.
It's even more possible to make the deal even if it doesn't match up, because if we're willing to name the park, I think there's a bit of an arm twisting needs to be done, but I think we could successfully acquire that property if that we can possibly.
Yeah, I think we can get a little bit creative. If we're far apart, let's say it comes in at $100,000, we cannot legally go over 10% of what the appraised value is.
Okay, so we can accept donations.
Yes, we can. And so
don't rule that out.
That's where negotiation comes in.
I talked to the guy, and he would like to leave a legacy.
Okay. Very good.
That is a pretty steep slope. That property is a pretty steep slope.
I walked it the other day. I met the resident. He's got a renter on site. $1,500 a month is what they're charging. So, anyway, the residence that's right here. Why don't you go ahead and go to the aerial? I believe the resident, it's an old residence. It doesn't have very much value to it, is what I can tell. And so it's basically the property that has the value. But it is, it slopes this direction, this way, and this way. It's completely surrounded by homes. And I think it'd be a great sanctuary for this entire neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, yeah, there are some challenges with sloping, but at the same time, there's a lot of opportunities. The topography just rolls, and it's really cool.
Sometimes slopes can be positive. Oh, I know my grandkids.
Well, this is a sledding hill right here.
Is it Sorensen that's got that big old slope?
Yes.
Yeah. Give them a cardboard box, and they love the slopes.
And talking to this property owner, he said this is like one of the most premier spots I'm looking at Mount St. Helens. So again, an unobstructed view except for this tree right there. But this is where all the news media came to actually view the mountain exploding in 1980 on this piece of property. So it's kind of cute. So I drove around the entire neighborhood, and yeah, definitely there's a need there. It fits within that half mile walking radius of park to park. And so I'm taking a pretty active interest in it.
Do you want a formal support statement?
I would like that if I could.
Open to?
I make the motion that we formally support the possibility of acquiring that property.
Tim Brown.
Based on neighborhood desirability.
Yes.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that NAB supports following the procurement of the Tim Brown property. All in favor?
Fantastic.
Any opposed? So moved.
So put your reading hat on as you're talking, because with a little bending, I think you can work it out.
Okay. Thank you.
That's exciting.
So is that it's formally supports, it's not the acquisition, but the you said yellow?
Big
yellow
book? Can't hear you.
All the properties that we have either...
I'm just looking for verbiage.
Any properties that we acquire or donated, we still have to go through a complete appraisal process on.
Yeah.
It's called the Yellow Book appraisal, which is one of the most comprehensive appraisals, and that's the appraisal system that we have to follow.
So pursue the evaluation of the
of the Tim Brown property, so that we know which one it is.
I thought I saw a preliminary site plan.
Say the name.
Here, 15 homes going in. Did he abandon that idea?
It was on the display.
22 homes going in. He abandoned it.
He does have to split out, so 22 homes will fit on this property, but he would much rather see it go through.
He's ready to develop, so
yes.
We've got one shot at it.
Yes, exactly.
But we don't want to miss it.
And he is not in a hurry, but he's not going to wait for him to read this.
Left.
Well, that's fantastic. Cool.
Yes. Supplemental budget.
Yes, budget. Always fun. Has anybody looked at the general fund of the budget that was online?
Not yet.
Okay. So I made copies of it and highlighted the parks related. So there's some good news, some not so good news. So it, this
red here.
Yeah, well, there's a just a little bit. So what I did is I highlighted in green kind of what the good news is, and the yellow is the not so good news. And it's a little confusing as you continue going through the budget because of how they transfer one fund to another, but I'll try to hit the key pieces. So on the first page, I'll start off with, as you know, there was a series of decision packages that we submitted, partly based on just administrative needs for parks, and then based on discussions at PAC for capital improvements, et cetera. So the first one on the page numbers are down in the lower right, 22, was there were some timber funds that had come in for improvements at Camp Hope. And so it was money that was already there. We just wanted to transfer it in so we could actually use it. So that's, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Bill. Or
The money currently resides in the Department of Environmental Services. We're just transferring it over to Public Works so that we can use it for master planning, Camp Hope.
On page 23, there's a couple green ones at the bottom, which are really just technical adjustments for funding. They were in the wrong fund, so they're moving in. So really, moving on to page 24. So the page 24, the first line with the general fund parks maintenance. So this is the piece that we're all aware of, is that the MPD, or Greater Clark Parks District maintenance money, was basically being used to subsidize general fund parks, basically to the tune of that amount. And we've, through the budget office, we've been requesting that money be given back each supplemental budget. And the last time, I think we were successful in obtaining like $165,000,
yes,
approximately.
Yes.
And we were hoping, what we've been kind of hoping for was another 10%. But the recommendation was zero. And just to maybe put an umbrella on this whole thing, the general fund's just, it's tight, it's very tight. There's a lot of demands on it.
But that's criminal.
What's that?
That our MPD is going to the general fund is criminal for those who have voted it in.
Yeah.
And approved it to happen, and then for it to get moved into general fund is
not right.
Upsetting.
Yes.
Not honoring the wishes of the
exactly
voting
right.
Voting. But that said,
so thank you for putting it in your request.
Yeah. We continue to push forward every time.
Do you feel like it was just the election time that they just chose to hold off, or what?
I don't think so. This was what was presented to the board in the work session just a couple of weeks ago. I don't really think it was related to that, as far as I could tell.
It's just open.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing with, and later on you'll see, we do have, or Bill mentioned that we have the PIF money available to build the two neighborhood parks next year, but we've been sticking to our guns on the concept that we need to have a maintenance fund. We need to be able to maintain the park before we can build it. And so with this decision package, we actually, within the language in that, we said, we understand you might not be able to fund the whole thing, but we need at least about $50,000 a year to be able to put towards Sorensen and Tower Crest so that we can build them next year. We really want to build those parks. But what they showed didn't include that. So just so you know, as we've been sitting here, I've been emailing back and forth with Mark McCauley on, is there something we can do to squeeze $50,000 out in order? Because what we really want to be able to say more firmly that we can build these parks next year, because our message has been, we're planning on it, we're designing, we're getting ready to bid in the late spring, but we need to have the maintenance fund available. So
we do owe it to the public to get those.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Those are two of six. Or
two of six neighborhood parks left. And then there's two community parks.
So that battle is still fought.
Right.
Yes. Well, everybody, that's yeah, part of our challenge.
Mm-hmm. The next one is parks administrative funding. I don't know, Bill, you can talk a little bit about what that was, I think the group.
Yes, the additional parks administration funding back when the parks was formed, if you will, 2014, we had a budget for salary, and of course, but we were working off residual budget that was left over that was not spent, and that was the monies that were going over to support Vancouver Clark Parks and Recreation staff. So the county share of that came to us this last year, and so it supported our salaries to support this brand new group. plus the expenses of running the Parks Administration. And so in this year, starting 2015, that budget was essentially stripped. We had salary money, and we had the $60,000 that we asked for the consultants. And that was essentially about it. There was really not much left that we could operate from. So as a result, we've been actually drafting off of our maintenance budgets to exist as a Parks Administration. So we're asking for the monies that we need, a basic amount, to run this operation, you know, without affecting our other budgets. And so that's what this decision package was about. So trying to recapture that.
We did make that known as we were approving this, too, that you're going to need that to honor this.
Yes.
I thought we did a pretty good job of tying it together.
We have plenty of
headlines. We're trying to get all the cues out there during that process.
Yeah, you can't bring parks back under the roof without putting some money to it. It's that simple.
And I don't, you know, I think my perspective is, and working with the group, is they're operating at bare bones as it is. You know, there's more work to be done. So this is a pretty small request in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So essentially, any cost.
Well, looking down here, the volunteer program request. I mean, we're talking about a bang for the buck. You need that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the next two, you know, we obviously talked about adding a parks planner, a grant specialist, and that was
which
not
means that that would be the grant writer that we need to carry on anything we do here. Yeah. Bill, you just need to duplicate yourself.
We're working on that. The volunteer program request. Now this. What this really relates to is there's obviously we had Karen, they do a ton of work in the general fund part, so this is intended to pay for the general fund piece of that. Of course, because technically the work that's being done, they need to be done in different funds. So the reality is there's a huge amount of work that goes in, you know, Louisville Park, Frenchman's Bar, Vancouver Lake, and all the work that goes down there that they work on that is technically not funded. So, again, that's another one where it seems like a no-brainer because the bang for the buck is huge. Maybe skip ahead to the other ones are mostly adjustments. And I just printed the whole thing out so you can see it and tried to highlight the parks pieces. So I think the next big piece is on page 29, which the first line is showing Sorensen and Tower Crest Parks. It's basically showing that we transferred the money that we received in PIFs to be available to build those two parks. And then most of these on this page are just parking effect fee transfers. Mm-hmm. So basically money that's come in to make it it's an accounting exercise. But I would go down to, I think it's the fourth green highlight, which on page 29, the fourth green highlight, REIT funding for parks major maintenance. So this is another piece of good news in that I know Jeremy's worked on putting together basically the absolute necessity needs of what we need to maintain in our parks. So these are repairs that need to be done, roofs, painting, things like that. I mean, it's stuff that's way overdue, and that funding did get approved. So it's another good news piece. I think I just noticed volunteer salary in a different category. It's a housekeeping thing. It was in a different fund.
The volunteer coordinator still exists.
It's still a good yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so this first one we shouldn't get too big data about.
No, other than that, you know, it's still an important. Yeah, because if we were really to say, you know, the money's not there in order to do that effort, so technically the answer, you know, for the service provided by that money is all the volunteer work that goes to the general fund parks. So all the great efforts that we've seen, technically it would be, well, we're not able to do that anymore. We're going to have to focus all our efforts on the MPD parks. So, and I think part of the strategy going forward, I think, is there's a lot of things going on with the general fund right now. There's a lot of pressures coming from all different angles, is to get through this supplemental budget. I think in talking with Bill, the things really get interesting later next year, in the middle of next year, budget-wise, with this being the first of the biennium. If we can, the idea of being in talking with Mark McCauley is that we'll give this another big push in the spring supplemental. So hopefully there's some things that we figured out by then. So, but I think that the awareness, at least at the budget office level and Mark's level, is very high with regard to this.
One of the reasons I wanted to come and talk to us about this is that I do believe some of this can be helped out by the Parks Board, Advisory Board, coming to present as we did with this. We need to really point out some of the real critical factors. We know we can't get everything, but there are some things, for instance, this first one, we've got to work hard on it. It's going to take us helping you out if you can't do it all.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the actual, I think this hearing start for the budget on the 1st?
December 1st?
For the regular budget. The
regular budget.
Supplemental budget.
Well, this is it. So it's considered a supplemental budget for this biennium. So
to be clear, you requested the 1.4 million and it was not approved.
That's correct.
So as a group, and I don't want to get anyone in hot water, and you all maybe work in different angles, is there anything that you need from us or that you would like from us to support certain things that were not approved through this recommendation in a public setting or in a private or in a recommendation or anything? Do you need anything from us, Keith?
I think the best thing, you know, you've all shown your support for the Parks Open Space Plan. I think you noted your concerns and interest in having pieces of, because really the funding that's in here all relates to this, and you know your continued support of that, and you know, at the budget hearings, you know, if that's something you chose to do, you know, I think you're an advisory board to the county council, so I'm sure that they want to hear from you.
So give me a refresher course on the MPD money.
So the maintenance money?
Yeah. Where did it start and how did it end up?
So the...
Well,
it ended up in the general fund. We knew that.
Yeah.
Which wasn't placed.
So it's not the plan.
The short story was, so the levy was basically approved by the voters in 2005. And so that was the maintenance. Basically, it was to pay for the maintenance of all the parks that were approved to be built as part of that levy passage. So the 35 neighborhood parks, 16 parks, and some trails. And so we've gone about, and we had a lot of park impact fee money, real estate excise tax, other funds available, you'll build a substantial portion of those parks. So, and then little by little, that levy money was intended to pay for the maintenance of all those parks. And then the downturn came in the late, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010. And so the general fund was drained out. And so what they did is they looked at, okay, what are those general fund parks that are already exist within the MPD boundary that could basically use that MPD money technically to support their maintenance, to take the burden off the general fund for a period of time, with the commitment being that it would be eventually returned. So what we're doing now is we're asking for that.
It's
kind of like, okay,
so from the legal standpoint, the way they got away with it is they essentially expanded the MPD. They are expanding the amount of stuff in the MPD. Is that how? Because
they used, what they did is the funding was set up to be within the MPD, within that district. So basically, they said, well, these parks
are
even
there.
Though this is a general fund park, it's within that district.
So yeah. They funded existing parks, not the ones we built with.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. So
when we pushed for that to get passed, it was said these new parks can't be built because we can't maintain them. Are you willing to throw a few nickels in the pot so that we can build them and maintain them? Mm-hmm. And the answer was just a tiny margin, was yes. And so those funds should have been for the new parks that were being built.
And we have not built out the com- commitment to those parks.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the direct result is we haven't done that. And so when they did that, what was the response? How did?
Well, you're going through a really raucous economic time. So I didn't
people
even ask because what were they going to do and what were we going to do?
Just
try to
survive.
We could have sued.
Well, that's exactly actually what was in the back of my mind.
Part of it was that they looked at the MPD fund and it had a fund balance at the time because the fund had been growing and we've been building the park, so eventually it catches up. And the way we've looked at a model looking out now, and it would look like if we were just to do nothing, that within, I can't remember the exact dates, but within the next 5 to 8 years, the MPD fund would go across the, they'd go to that.
Great.
And so, without this money would allow it to be sustainable moving forward. I think, did I miss?
No, you covered it pretty well. So,
do we charge interest?
We're actually getting really close to the crossroads of what we're bringing in with MPD as to what we're spending. So I don't think it's even going to be 5 years before we start going there. So it's really important that we start transferring the responsibility back to the general fund side. So the intent was to try to draft, you know, at least 10% a year back, you know, with the intent that we're going to eventually get the entire amount back. But
what's this?
If we're not successful this fall, then of course we'll go after them again this spring.
What is this $2 million impact fee transfer for Urban REAP Perks Fund? That's kind of a big one, although it's green. You know what that is.
That's probably
It's funds transfer.
Yeah. When you see the word transfer,
it's moving from one line item to another.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they start saying transfers, when my eyes start going to open.
Yeah, because it's not really new money. One of the things that was said, you know, I was really excited about getting the plan done, but Councillor Melky did say, you know, it's a great plan, but it's no better than the money that we approved for.
Right.
So
that's
why we can't really be celebrating this too much.
Well, I think, you know, I know for public works standpoint, the park's funding, you know, dealing with the school board is one of our highest priorities just because it's that important. It's kind of been, everybody loves parks, but it's when you go ask for this.
Go see the beams. And I know you know that better than most.
So for them, I'll testify that they would rather pay extra $7 in taxes for a year than not.
But these guys keep it all going.
Is there any, we've kicked this idea around as a PAB or in a joint PAB for years after we saw some data that there was a study done in one location that we've always said might be interesting to have a study done in Clark County around the value that parks adds to a property relative to its location to a community park. And we've talked about it, we think it's a good idea, but one thing we've always said was it really adds validity to funding parks programs and maintenance of a park, is that it increases the property value surrounding those
homes.
Which
brings in money.
Yeah.
But if they won't even fund a volunteer coordination piece, all those arguments don't carry too much water.
Yeah.
Well, except...
You know, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it.
It adds the validity to get one of those fundings.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if we... Is anyone still talking about that idea at all? Like maybe WSU has a program?
Well, there's a group that's talking about it with the city right now. I know that.
Great.
And they're working on that. And we will capture anything that they come up with from their side of things. But all the same, you still have to have...
To do it.
And be funding volunteers and administration. If he can't even have the grants guy to write the grants that'll pay for that person, I mean, think about the grants
pretty sad.
And all that, then we've got some homework to do before we even get to that level.
Yeah.
But
I
you're
just
right.
Don't want to lose that concept, right?
No, we don't.
It's such a good concept.
But there is
for
some
being
of that information
valid.
Done in Seattle. It's very helpful.
Oh.
We can capture that. Share it.
Yeah.
Any opportunity we get to talk to a council, Is that what they're going to continue to call it?
Yeah. There'll be five
counselors. We should do it. So that would be our job.
I've been trying to end something here.
I'm sorry.
And they're on a fabulous play. I just wanted to say, I think that we need to, in this next year, try to find a way to bring that to fruition. One of the positions that the counselors keep standing on is how they're bringing business into Clark County and growing the business side. And I think that there's, as you put it, validity in what the value is that parks bring in desirability and value to homes. We can't overlook the fact that bringing those businesses in, that when they come in and look to relocate to an area, they look, what will bring people here? What will make it desirable for employees? So if we can do a better job of selling that perspective to them, I think it brings greater strength. That's my point I wanted to say.
Yeah.
We really need to.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, and we need to be creative and find a way to make this happen. I think it's a great idea.
Be nice.
Just
about.
Yes.
And if we really look closely, they probably have a lot of that data that they're not even sharing with us, that they know that. We just have to remind them of it, too.
There we go.
Because there's economic people out there getting paid big bucks.
CREDC might be interested in tackling something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cumbie River Economic Development Council, so Mike Gomar.
So do you have links into that group? You could maybe feel them out?
Sure. Mike, I can ask Mike.
Why don't you go with our girl?
And the Parks Foundation with Temple, see what Temple is interested in maybe doing. That would be very good.
Why don't we connect and see if we can't push in a few directions?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Mike.
Never hurts to ask. So along these lines, do you think when these hearings start on the budget, would you see value from either a Parks Board or a resident perspective, people showing up and encouraging support of the park items? Yeah, okay. So we'll start advocating for some support. Thanks for sharing. This is good info. Roundtable time.
Schools. So Vancouver Public Schools will not be going out for a bond this February. We will, however, be going out for a maintenance and operations levy, which is a typical long-standing levy that our voters have graciously continued to approve for us. It is how we maintain our buildings and operate our schools. I don't have any stats on it yet because we are just formulating what those stats will be. Our board just made some very specific recommendations maybe 2 weeks ago now. But given some of the market research that we've done and community awareness, we've realized that the community is not as aware of the need for a bond for replacement of some very old schools. And so we have a little bit of public outreach and public communication, and we'll go back out and see what the people think at the end of the summer. We have six or seven elementary schools in our inventory that are well over 50 years old, so there is a significant need for those replacement schools. Just there is not an awareness around what those needs are. So that, you know, we'd like turf fields and upgraded stadiums and better science classrooms and, you know, all the things that you, as technology and things change, so does the needs of the high schools and the middle schools. So, but it's predominantly an elementary school push.
Not to mention the growth of the county, and every time we grow, more students.
Yeah.
And then the other kind of exciting thing in the world of schools, or at least in my realm of the world of schools, legislature is very committed, and we think we see them moving in the right direction to bring a class size reduction K-3 17-1. So that's extremely exciting for 17 kids to one teacher in the K-3. It is exceptionally challenging from a facility standpoint. So it throws our models into a little bit of chaos because we've always planned for 23 kids per. we don't believe portables are the best educational model. We're actually hopeful that it starts to slowly roll out to Vancouver Public Schools in the thought of maybe 50 new teachers next year and 50 new teachers the year after, which is super exciting for our area. But let's think a minute. A large elementary school is 30 classrooms. 50 teachers times 2, that's kind of 3 new schools in our plan. So we have a lot of good work to do ahead of us to figure out how we can accommodate and make that connection with kids.
Portable farm.
That's our district office.
That's our district office, Chris.
Portable farm.
That's true. Yeah. That's awesome.
So those are our exciting and kind of updates where we're at. I'll bring more information about our maintenance and operations levy just so everyone has a concept of what's happening. So I believe Evergreen's going for our maintenance and operations.
The same thing, probably a 3-year levy, and they'll decide on the rates sometime next month.
Yeah, same with us. It'll be a 3-year.
It's that time of year.
Can I ask you, Jennifer, there's some staking going on the school property just north of Sergeant Fred Crawford Park. Is there any plans with that property?
You know, we always tell everybody if we don't think we may need to build a school on that at some point, we can't hold that property in our inventory. We believe that there is opportunity for that site, and we've talked about and it would be elementary school. The staking that's happening is relative to, hopefully it's ours. We've been sharing that. We've been somewhat sharing that property with communal folks who've been building structures on it, like kids. But there's actually footings and stuff happening. It's a really amazing project that someone will do. But so we're having a little bit of difficulty with that piece of property getting heavily utilized and built on, really, without our approval. And so I think we've added some fencing up front, but I don't, in the level of planning we've done this far, we haven't considered that in our next 6 years. However, with the 17-to-1, we're just blowing up the model and we're starting again, and we have several properties that we'll take a look at what's possible. I would love for that property to get developed right by the park. It would be really an awesome.
So do you expect by the end of next year to have this model, the new model, kind of visualized, the concept of it all?
Yep.
What it really means?
Do you have anything to add to your round table?
Nope.
Well, let me ask you this before you leave, because I was going to ask for the group when it was my turn. On the 18th, is 7 o'clock a good start time for people?
5:30 is a great time.
Well, most people aren't home from work by then. That's why I thought I'd ask.
You just come right up.
Yeah. Is that a good start time for everybody?
Sounds
okay.
Good.
I just want to ask while he was still here. Thanks for making
Thanks,
it.
Chris.
Yeah, I hope those steaks are ours, but I don't think so.
Your turn, John.
I would almost say. Right.
Yeah. So when would the school board, or when would the Vancouver School District like to implement that? 17-to-1.
We've started in some of our high poverty schools. We have received funding for about an additional 30 supplemental teachers. We piloted at the start of the school, looking at our population, our teaching differently. So instead of a teacher needs 4 walls and they get 17 kids and they're in this space and they can go in other spaces if they want, but this is their this is their homeroom. What would it look like if that teacher still had 25 kids in that space, but they had a roving teacher that went around and supported that function better? So your ratio teacher to student is 18 or 17-to-1. However, physically in this room at any given time, you can have any number of kids. And if you had a retractable wall and you wanted to have 45 kids in a space with 5 teachers floating and moving kids in and out of that space. In some of the schools, the culture has presented itself very well. In some of the schools, it has not. So I think overall, that thought has largely been uncertain how to deploy that successfully. So we're working on sort of like every angle we can think of. So where would that work? Where wouldn't that work? Where would a physical space be required? How do we rethink space so that you don't have just all these kids in this space, you know? That's a movement, though. That's more than just hiring teachers.
Yeah.
That's a movement in education, which is
awesome. Key. Yeah.
Time to move on.
Time to move on.
John? Operations management structure created so that you can be efficient.
We got 8 minutes left, so let's make it around the table.
So, two things. Excited with report that the park that the Port of Kennesaw Washougal is building should be happening early next year. 5.7 acres, I believe. They're right beside the port offices, and then a 0.7-mile trail that will eventually connect all the way over to the dike trail that goes all the way down there, which is pretty darn cool.
Which is huge, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. On the parks board side, I have to say, as I stare at this thing, I'm thinking now that we've got the comp plan done, next year a really good focus for this board would be advocacy.
Absolutely.
So there's my thought for the day.
Yes, I did a bit. I have nothing new to add.
I want to just mention, yesterday I was on the hot seat for 2.5 hours.
Sorry about that, Kelly.
For the James Weber Evergreen Arboretum with the City Parks and Recreation Commission. How did you feel that went from your point of view? You were there for most of it.
I'm disappointed in the. I would have liked to see more support for it.
More what?
More support from. Not the people were all there. I don't know how people felt in the audience because they weren't allowed to speak, which was frustrating. But I don't know why people are so concerned and hesitant about this property. It just blows my mind.
It's a no-brainer in our right mind. But they're all concerned that if you can't take care of what you got, why should you take more? And that's kind of the mentality we have in the community right now. And I can understand. I did get the sense that the park it would be accepted.
You would. It would.
That was the bottom line.
I don't think Jilly wants it.
You don't think
I don't think Jilly wants to take it in.
Well, yeah, that's the rub. I don't think she wants to, but I think that
she has
City Council and the Parks Commission does.
She wants to water ground.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was that. I will be gone February, so I will be Skyping the meeting in January. Mm-hmm. I will be here for the February meeting. And I won't try to Skype the party unless I can find a way to.
Are we going to have a December meeting?
Well, the meeting.
The 11th. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to call that the 18th?
It's just call it the 18th.
Just because it's a crazy time of year.
Is there any important work that needs to be done?
Well, there's always things that come up from month to month. But
if that's what you
do, what do you think the availability is going to be? You know, if we do hold it on the.
I'm here during the day. It's just the nighttime I have to commit to my hubby.
Do you want to do a doodle poll and just see who's going to be here?
I'll do a doodle poll to see who's available and if there are issues.
Yes.
If you have one on the
11th, I don't want to call people.
If you have one on the 11th, I will Skype them, but if you don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll hold off and make a decision if something comes up that's urgent.
Okay.
You can count me in to the what do you call it?
Martini.
Attendees.
For
quorum, yes.
Quorum.
Yeah, that's what we need. Nothing else? No. You brought enough good
news. Thanks for coming. Your support.
Facts and data are some of the biggest deals to us.
Adam?
Nothing really going on. I'm studying for, continuing to study for the GMAT, trying to get into grad school in January. So,
exciting times.
Where would that grad school be?
WSU.
Do we have any citizen comment?
Entrance exam is terrible. It's terrible. So.
Those are never fun. Yeah. Standard tests, yeah. Well, good luck on that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Bill?
Nothing. I think I've spoken on my piece. I just want to say thank you for continuing to support this program. I really appreciate it. Volunteering your time is huge. And I know it's tough to get here, and I do appreciate you being taking the time and making that difference. We've done some great things together so far. I look forward to a nice, bright new year.
And an exciting year upcoming.
The new board of the county, and we'll actually be adding a couple members here as well.
Yeah, new secretary.
All right. So, Adam, thank you for doing it up to now.
Of course.
Jeremy, anything to add?
No, exactly.
All right. Thanks. Meeting adjourned then at 3:28. 2 minutes early.
Good. I'm going to keep it on task, Barbara. Taskmasters.
So that pressure's off.
Thank you, guys. Thank God.
Is the recorder off, though? Did we turn the recorder off?
Oh.